Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Now, this is a very special Best of TMOS because all of the segments come from our bonus shows. Now, if you've not yet treated yourself to the sixth episode that we record each and every week, check it out and see what you've been missing. The bonus shows are my favorite because we never know where they're going to go. As soon as we hit the record button, all bets are off. Check it out. If you like what you hear today, there is a brand new bonus show every week, and you can help yourself to it by going to MikeOMaraShow.com and clicking the bonus show banner. And it makes a great gift. Just a hey. Here's a great gift for you. It's the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. I think you're really going to enjoy it, so please enjoy the best of the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeOMaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
You know, I was thinking about my consumption of music, and I was thinking in terms of... I don't like concerts.
What was that about?
Replay that in slow motion.
Dude, it was like a spazzy Tony Bennett
thing. Problem. It's called smart food popcorn, which is nor smart nor healthy for you.
But it is food.
They package it in a way you're like,
it's great. It's good popcorn.
It's effing great popcorn, right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, put it in oil and it gets bigger.
My move after the show is to run across the CVS and grab a smart food for a snack before lunch.
Right.
Right? So I had to go and get this popcorn, run to my car because I had forgotten my phone in my car.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Went to the parking lot, picked that up, and then at that point I realized, man, this morning when I parked the car on the CVS parking deck initially before it was moved for me, I'd crashed into that rail.
Yeah.
That's in front of...
You've had a morning. I didn't know you had this kind of morning.
Yeah, but I'm not going to come in at 9 and be like, oh, I hate my life. No, that's my problem, right? Yeah.
It's worked for me for 30 years.
Yeah. Has he never listened to the show?
It's called the Mike O'Mara. It's called the Mike O'Mara Show. I was gonna let you know when I saw the damage. Because I didn't even look at the damage. Wow. I said, F it. Gotta go to the show.
You f***ed your car up before you really hit it?
I hit it. And then I said, I'm not even going to look right now because I'm going to go be a professional and do the show. I'll look after the first show. Right?
And so what's the status?
I knew something was up because you know why? He always, if he wanted just keys from his car and smart food, he would have sent somebody. And yes. I told him, I said, we're up to the gills in interns today. Why are you doing this? And he looks at me and he's going out there, bah, 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 bah. Almost like an Andy Rooney.
I said, I got to go for a walk.
So did you mess it up?
So this is the big to-do.
This makes so much sense now.
Is, you know, I was getting rid of the car, right?
Mm-hmm.
What you don't know is I have sold the car, in essence, to my brother-in-law. So
family member, that's good.
Yeah. So there are two things that happened in the past 10 days.
Right.
One is somebody tried to break into my car. So there's a dent and divot on the driver's side window that needs to be replaced and fixed. I sent the picture to my brother-in-law. I said, hey, it looks like somebody tried to break in the city.
When did someone try to break into your car?
Like, I want to say 5 days ago, probably, right?
We're doing five a week. Bring that in, right?
I haven't shared that anywhere.
Wow. I didn't know this. This is
a lot going on, right? We're selling fruitcakes.
Police came and all this.
Call the cops. You know why? I don't need that on my report. Don't need that on my insurance.
Mike, this is what it's like. This is life in the naked city.
Yeah.
When your car is broken into, you don't even call the cops. Don't f*** with that.
Right out in front of your small house?
Somewhere on the block.
Small house?
Somewhere on the block, right?
Broad daylight?
Jesus, Oscar.
So, but the car was sold like 2 weeks ago.
So it's not your problem anymore.
And then all this starts happening. What happened with the railing?
So
I bet your brother-in-law is the guy who broke into the car. He was just eager to get in there.
I'm sure. The railing, I wasn't paying attention, and I just kind of rolled into it. But I know because these cars are made of plastic, something's up.
Right.
Now, I had just finished sending this picture to my brother. And I was not even sending a picture, FaceTiming him and saying, hey, man, just a heads up. And I knew that I was going to fix it in my heart of hearts before I went down to Florida. But I wanted to let him know as soon as something happened. Right?
Sure.
I said, hey, what about this? A part of me was going to say, hey, I'll take care of it. The dealer down here. Don't worry about it. No, it was, okay, thank you.
You were hoping he might say something.
I was hoping because
like
there's a lot on my plate already. Like, last thing I want to go.
What did the brother-in-law say?
He said, he goes, look, he goes, if it were me, I would just I would just let, and you sold it to me, I would just let you take care of it when you came down here and cover the cost. He goes, but if you have time, go to the dealer. Because I already said I'll go to the dealer. So
That's why they call you Square Deal Santana.
It's over, right? But I feel better.
What a f***ing drag.
I feel better knowing that I'm taking care of this already. I can fix the door sill. I'm sure it's going to cost like $500. It's going to suck. Now, what I wasn't accounting for was this morning. Where?
And how did it happen this morning?
Well, and if I'm being completely honest,
yes.
Where's my wife?
Here we go.
Right. She's not listening.
What do they call them on Barstool? The sports, the smoke shows, the hot girls, right? So I'm.
What are you talking about? I need more.
He saw a hot girl and he wasn't paying attention.
I see. Okay.
So there was a hot girl parked right next to me in the spot that I was pulling into, and I was like, boom.
Wow.
Like a pervert.
Oh, dear.
You've seen guys trip on the street before when they're walking because they see a pretty girl.
Walking to light poles. Yeah. I mean, you see
down a manhole cover. Yeah.
I think there might be a YouTube channel
dedicated
has all
to it.
The guys.
So yes. The smoke show had me run into what is two railings. Not crash, but a slow enough where I didn't want to look at the damage. I want to deal with it later.
Let me ask you this. Was the impact significant enough where the smoke show looked over at you?
Embarrassing. It was so embarrassing. she probably was flattered, but also what a dummy.
But she saw you have the accident.
Oh my God. She was right next to me with a window down.
So the only way you could have possibly made it worse is if you got out to examine the damage right then.
I was Mr. Bean when I got out. I pretended like nothing.
Like nothing
happened. I got out and just went along my merry way. Like
you do it all the time.
I can't. No big deal.
Sure.
I'm not going to have to fix this. It's not going to cost me half my mortgage. So I scurry over there. And as I'm walking over, because I'm an emotional eater, I start downing this popcorn, just getting ready for the big blow. This is going to be nuts.
This makes so much sense now because of the ways of his mood when he stormed out of the studio.
I go over there. I've got half the bag of popcorn. I'm looking down at my chest, and I notice that there's powder over it. At that time, as soon as I notice, and I'm about to brush off
cheddar
the powder,
cheese powder
everywhere.
Yeah, looked like
cheddar
the
cheese powder.
Looked like the go-go 80s in here.
I looked over to the car. I'm like, is that the sun, or is that a dent?
Oh.
And we've all played that game in our minds because we know it's a dent and not the sun.
Oh, God.
I go over there.
Now
like,
you're talking thousands.
I hate this matte paint. They're going to have to paint the whole bumper again. They just can't spot treat this. It's going to be a big problem. And I walk over, and it was not the sun because the sun barely's out in D.C. these days, as everybody knows. Mm-hmm. And it was an effing dent.
Oh, you really, you made serious impact.
I made big potty on my day, is what I did.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so.
This explains why when he came back with the half bag of smart food covered in powder, he looked at me and said, I can't wait to f***ing get rid of my car.
Let me ask you this.
Yes.
Have you thought about just reducing the sales price of the car?
An adjustment.
At this point, we are beyond, let me take it to the dealer for a quick fix me up. At this point, there's going to be a significant discount for what the dealer says it's going to cost to fix this.
Mm.
What sucks about it is because now I'm the little brother.
Yeah.
That had something nice, couldn't take care of it for 2 weeks until somebody came and picked it up. And it's going to roll off the
brother-in-law,
truck.
Was the brother-in-law, was he doing you a solid?
He
with
doesn't
the purchase
need no. Well,
this?
First of all, he's doing it for him because he doesn't need another car. And God bless him. I'm sure he told my sister, he's like, your brother is probably hard up. He needs the money. We're just gonna go ahead and buy it from him because he has.
But you do that. You do a lot of deals.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
that,
yeah.
And you've been trying
yes,
to.
But I don't. Yeah. I had just mentioned in passing that I was getting rid of the car, and he goes, really?
Because he likes
to go fast.
Sure.
Right?
Okay. All right.
And
so does Oscar, just in a parking lot. Yes.
Why are smoke shows, hot girls? I mean, she was sitting, she wasn't even doing
it. Do you know?
She wasn't doing anything sexy.
Do you know who did that? Do you know who dented that car today?
Who?
Satan.
That's right. Satan.
The devil reached down into your automobile when you were watching the smoke show and caused you to slam your expensive automobile into the railing.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Huh? Man, damn thing's working. Good evening, students.
Yo, who the crap is this guy?
How should I know?
Some of you may be wondering, who is that imposing figure? Well, I'm G, but you can call me Master G. Welcome, everyone, to tonight's lingerie run. This event started as a student protest, but as time went on and people got less political, things began to change. The kids decided they didn't give a shit about protesting, you see, but they did enjoy a bit of healthy student bonding in their underwear, and y'all still do, right?
Hell yeah! Lingerie run! Master G!
Now don't forget, this event is also a way to show support for your fellow students and say encouraging things like stay in school, drugs are bad, ditches are deadly, and stuff like that. And most importantly...
Jesus!
Well, aren't you the spirited one? Anyway, on your marks! Let's go!
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana, and now, the best of O'Mara.
Mike, you all of our wonderful listeners, especially the guys, are going to puke when I say this. Like, she was a smoke show in her own right. But her eyes are what got me. I was like, look at those.
Oh, so you were really checking this
one. Ran into a pole.
Yeah, but it requires an emotional investment to get to her eyes.
I was like, man. Well,
what was the, can you possibly find
she had an
she
olive complexion, so she was tanned.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And she had like these piercing blue eyes. I was like,
wow.
Boom. Santana takes an L.
She was looking, at you?
I think I was like, I thought she was vibing on me, but she was probably like, I hope this guy doesn't hit my car.
You might have been vibing. She might have been vibing on that beautiful car that didn't have any dents yet. Beautiful, car.
I think she was like, oh, who's this jerk rolling too fast into the spot? Hopefully he doesn't hit my car. He's staring at me. Boom.
Well, Satan can take many forms, God. Mike. Sometimes it's that of an olive complexioned woman.
If I think about this, Mike, and you know who she looked like? She looked like the girl from The Good Wife. But tanned.
Oh, really?
Juliana Margulies?
Oh, yeah. Tanned Juliana Margulies.
Wow.
Tanned younger Juliana Margulies.
Oh, my
God.
Yeah.
Because as she's gotten really? Older, now she looks a little like Slash from Guns N' Roses.
Oh, what a compliment.
I'm glad that she caught when she was the younger Juliana Margulies.
I would guarantee if Juliana Margulies walked into the studio, we would drop everything.
I'm sure we would.
100%.
Enthrall.
100%.
She is a very beautiful woman.
Dead my face Slash. By walking into a railing.
Slash from Guns N' Roses.
Similar haircut. Hey, Juliana, could you just put on this top hat?
Do you know when we hit the misogyny alarm too, because we're doing this quite a bit there.
Sure.
You know, do you ever notice that what's the scene? Oh my God, I'm trying to think of the scene. I think it's where Julia Roberts in Notting Hill is sitting there with Lou Grant and the guys are talking about her.
Sitting there with Ed Asner.
They're sitting there with Hugh Grant in London and they're talking about the actress, and then Julia Roberts comes around the corner and they're all dumbstruck. You know, whenever we're talking about women this way, we would all be dumbstruck,
of course,
if any of these women came into our our
agreed
wheelhouse.
But strangers, yes. same deal. And then what's compounding this, and I'm sorry if I'm monopolizing the opening of
even
the
though
show.
You hit the car, even though you hit the car, did you actually wait till she got out of her car?
No, Mike, I scurried in shame away from the vehicle.
Yes.
Okay.
With your...
Okay, just ask him.
By the way, I'm sure she's like, oh, this guy, like, he can't even drive. And look at that wonderful backpack that a high schooler uses to go to work.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's successful.
What the is that?
Like, I'm going camping.
Jeez, what are you going parachuting after the show? What's going on with that?
Looks like you're headed up to the campground with the scouts.
The biggest backpack ever.
That is
my
huge.
God in heaven. What do you have? Are you having going to a t-shirt sale or something? What's
the padding makes it look like it's packed.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, it certainly does. It looks like it's quite bloated. It looks like a parachute.
Shock absorbent. So. Even if I have nothing in it, it looks like it's packed.
Yeah, but there's a lot of decoration
too. It looks like I'm living out of my backpack.
Well, the beautiful woman probably looked at you and said, wow, he's so high functioning.
My wife said, Shannon, maybe it was, what is it, Saturday?
Yeah.
We're driving, and I'm driving the car. She's in the passenger seat, and she goes, "Why are guys so dumb?" And I'm like, whoa.
That's a can of worms.
Have a couple of hours.
I said, "What's up? Like, are you in a bad mood? I thought we're fine. I thought everything's good."
Yeah. Right.
She says, "You just stared at that girl for like 30 seconds at the crosswalk." I'm like, "What girl?" She goes, "The girl."
And were you lying when you said what girl?
Mike, I kid you not, I will admit to staring at women. I'm fine with that.
I understand. Right. I
said, "What girl?" She goes, "The girl in the blue short shorts." I'm like, "That's every girl in D.C.
Yeah.
And she says,
"It is a pretty good time of year to be in the city."
She says, "She goes, why would you look that way when I'm in the car?" I'm like, "If I did it, I apologize. A lot of this is just reflex."
Yeah.
"And it's not meant to hurt your feelings." I was like, "You know that my libido is dead. So even if I was going to do anything, I'm not making any efforts towards that." I was like, "That's as good as it gets. And when I pay my taxes, I do my best.
Think you did it reflexively? You were staring at this
normal
woman?"
And I used to S on my father for like the long, drawn out pervert stare. Where my father to this day, I don't know if it's a Latino in him or I don't know, whatever DNA
he's
the
pervs,
but he's just school, looking, he's always looking for a third family.
And to give you further insight, it's woman waiting to cross.
Right.
So he spots her.
Sure.
Right away when he hits the crosswalk. And then it's the long gaze as she's walking across with the entire family in the car, as I remember as a kid.
The stereotype of the Irish is that we drink a bit, and I've done nothing to dispel it.
Right.
I believe that I'm part of. I think the stereotype with the Latin men. I remember Manassas where Carla would get the perv stares.
Yeah.
A lot. It would happen a lot. It was kind.
Well,
it was
Carla's
kind
a
of,
smoke it, show. Congratulations.
It happens a lot, Mike.
It happens a lot, and they say that. I'm concerned about the automobile. I know you're not a body worker, but I will say. Well, you wanted to be, right? I would ask you seriously, what do you think how bad is this something where it's a noticeable nasty ass dent in the back?
No, it's in the front. That's the worst part.
You were pulling
the smoke show
in.
Got me from the front.
Wow.
Was the smoke show, had she backed into the
she
parking
backed
space?
In.
Oh, wow.
That's why
she's
our eyes
skills.
Locked. I was like,
Oh, so you did.
Wow, this car, I didn't think
Rob,
it was going
to... Did you not think that he had done it, that he backed in?
I
thought he was talking about backing in. I didn't know he did it.
I pictured him pulling in front, but I pictured her also pulling in front.
He did it in the front.
So you did
the
this.
The front means... All right, I got to position myself like this, okay?
So you were making
like
eye contact her
as
while
I
you
was
hit.
Parking.
Oh, you are such an idiot.
I'm mortified.
I guess so.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I mean, that's...
This hurts 10 ways to Sunday.
Front, yeah. Oh, God, if you did it in the front, that means you were staring, like, completely with not even looking
like
at
eye contact.
A toddy stare.
Yeah, you know what?
Means
that
your
makes
whole
it...
body went into paralysis. That's why you went into the,
didn't
you
hit
know,
the, break.
Into the
yeah,
wall.
It makes it so more awkward.
Right.
So much more awkward.
I had to get out on her side of
Will
the car.
You look at that. You are... I got to get out. So you had to get out on her side.
Her side.
And,
her window's down.
Scurry
her
away.
Window's down.
You should have looked at her and said, "Hey, do you have your tickets?" And she'll say to what? You say, "To the smoke
her
show."
Was down. Did she say anything to you?
Mike, I was so mortified that I grabbed my parachute backpack.
Right.
And I didn't even look back. Not even for a second glance.
Man, are you okay? Are you okay? I know. I think I hurt my neck. Can you suck the poison out?
I think I bruised my thigh.
First, I've come to realization that there was no, she was, as I mentioned, I think she was just more concerned with my rate of speed coming at her.
Sure.
Because she knew there's a problem, clearly.
So did part of you say, I see this woman from a distance, I'm pulling into the space, I'm going to be super cool guy, zip right
she
into
took
the space.
Me all at, I usually zip in regardless and I'm fine. I come within inches. My move is get out and look how close I came to that pole.
Yeah, it's a game for him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And this is what's even worse.
Maximum concentration required.
The car has a sensor that goes beep, 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 beep.
Yeah.
And I was so engorged.
I was going to say, what is it, an erection sensor?
My erection was driving at this point.
Right.
You can't really get a grip of that wheel with an erection.
No.
So. Right. I said, well, I guess we're just going to crash into this thing and get out and go to work. Wow.
My car has, and this was the coolest thing at the car that I have down in Florida. It actually has a sensor in it that will stop the car at slow speed if you come up to an obstacle.
Really?
And where it manifests.
Most cars now, newer cars do have that, which is great.
I never thought about it until the little guy was in the back. We were running an errand, and it was just him and me, and we were coming up on the gate. The little gate to get into the community, right? And God, can I sound any more elitist? So I'm taking my wonderful new automobile. I'm driving into my gated community. But we come up.
It practically drives itself, Lovey.
It's leisure world,
amazing.
People.
I don't understand why people complain about it. They've got cars that can actually stop. The gate goes up, and then you slide into the next gate.
Yeah.
And you're almost in a holding cell.
Yes.
And the other
airlock,
gate. And so I came in, and I was trying to get super close. I don't know why I was trying to get super close. And suddenly the car just goes, and snaps the little guy's neck, snaps my neck, and it actually really worked. But the thing is, it's something you want to play with. It's something you want to try, but you never do try it because you think it might not work.
If it fails
and if
you,
it doesn't work, and you're going 10 miles per hour.
Because you know why? The bars were out of the sensor reach. Two bars.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's like a railing you came up. Would it have stopped automatically or just
if
given
it
you
was a
wall,
it would have stopped automatically.
Oh, it could have saved you.
Yeah, it could have saved me. But
if
my erection was...
You can take that to the dealership and say it didn't work.
If my erection was driving, I think it voids the warranty.
Yeah.
But if you take it to the dealership and said,
for it.
I park in this tight area and I got too close and it didn't do anything.
I depend on your technology that was sold to me.
Right.
Yes.
Couldn't you make
I think
almost
that they've
a reasonable
accounted for this, and there's a computer in the actual car, which I found out 3 years ago when I actually went a year into buying the car, where I was like, how do they know all of this information from my car? Because I went to get it serviced. Mm-hmm. And the guy, one of the service guys, was like, oh, we know this. I'm like, that's effing crazy.
It's interesting.
The best of O'Mara.
My car, the Subaru, now that I've joined the land of the Subaru, the other day, Carla indicated that we had an oil light that came on.
Yeah.
And then it didn't come on. Then it came on again. Then it didn't come on. Then it didn't come on. And so she makes an appointment for we had to get our 3,000-mile check. Where you there's no appointment necessary. You can drive into the Subaru dealership, which is what we did on Saturday with the little guy. By the way, that's when, unfortunately, fucking everybody does it. So,
and did you buy it? You bought it at Ruth and Wimpy's Subaru, right?
Ruth and Wimpy's Subaru, yeah. And so we bring
Free
it
lobster
in.
Tail.
And there are three cars in front of us. There are three cars in front of us. And we go into the dealership. The little guy's got a play area to play
that's
with.
Good.
I'm reading a magazine. I even test drove the big new Subaru Ascent just for shits and giggles.
Yeah.
So I decided that I would do that. And the manager comes out, a real super nice guy. We chat with him. And bingo, it's over. I said, man, that's just miraculous how you pull in on a Saturday, you got three cars in front of you, and bing, bang, boom, you're out there, and you get it all checked. Well, wrong.
Wrong.
Because not 2 hours later, the oil indicator light comes on again,
balls.
And we're pissed at this point. So Carla calls 2 days ago, makes an appointment, and says, we'll bring the car in. She was supposed to originally bring the car in on Wednesday. Yesterday, Tuesday, I'm driving in the car. I got the oil light. I said, you know what? You don't mess around with an oil indicator light.
You're
because
right.
That's a light that's going off because maybe you got a real big problem. And I'm thinking, 3,000 miles, it's got...
I thought cars
take
could go for 10,000 miles these days.
But it depends on the oil. So especially if it goes synthetic, you can. But if it's cheap oil...
We'll get to this. Hold on. Because I want to tell you, I take it in yesterday. I walk up to the counter and I said, listen... my wife has an appointment tomorrow at 8:00 in the morning, but I wanted to come in because I've got this oil indicator light. I don't want to wait that long. I want somebody just to check it out. Now, during this whole process, I am so conditioned, like all Americans are, with our technology and our vehicles, that the guy from the service bay comes out, pops the trunk, pops the hood of the car, and looks down at the engine and said, okay, I'll be right back. I'm going to go. I said, what do you think it is? And he turns around. He didn't. Wasn't snarky. Was matter of fact. And I realized what an idiot I am. I said, "So what do you think it is?" He said, "Well, I'm going to check the oil." And as soon as he said that, I flash back to other vehicles I've had back in the day before technology ruled our lives. Well, I've had cars that I check the oil continuously.
Sure.
I would always check. And I'm suddenly sitting there. Yeah, it's an oil indicator light. Check the fucking oil, you moron. He comes out.
You see, sir, there is a stick that dips into the oil.
which they still have. Without electronic technology helping you with all that, it's just amazing the way he comes out and he looks at it and he says, you know what? You're low. You're a little low. Now, here's why I'm pissed.
Right.
Because we had that car in the service bay to get its 3,000. You know what the 3,000-mile check is? A guy stands next to the car and goes, yep, okay. What I think they did.
Especially if there was three ahead of you.
So there are two concerns here. That, you know, what did they really do when I had that little engine indicator light, the oil light? And secondly, at 3,000 miles, why am I down a quart? Unless they didn't put the right amount of oil. And I guess I'll find out after another 3,000 miles.
Yeah.
Could the Subaru with its little four-cylinder engine be burning that kind of oil? Is that possible?
It should not burn any oil, especially an engine that young.
And if it, well,
that's
see,
what
the,
you're
the,
concerned we, of. Like, is this an engine issue?
Yeah, so do you think maybe I need to...
I don't know. I mean, if it
goes on again, right now, it hasn't gone on. They put the quart in. Maybe it was just, it didn't have enough oil in there to start with, so it was right at the cusp, and then at the slightest indication, and he said that...
That would make sense for it going on and off, because I think sometimes the heat of the engine will actually expand the size of the oil in the tank or the reserve, and that could make it go on and off.
So you'll get the indicator light...
But what's strange, and I'm sorry for cutting you off, Mike, it's not an effing Model T.
No, you're right.
It's a late model Subaru.
Brand new.
So
Brand new Subaru. Yes.
I think you're right.
Like brand new Subaru. Absolutely brand new Subaru. Brand new Subaru. Bad oil. Hey, engine oil. Burn. Not good. Oh, no.
Hey, Raymond.
Yes.
Hot engine burn oil.
Hot engine burn baby. I don't think
you have to ask someone outside of the dealership.
Yeah, and did you by any chance did you Google to see if this is something that has happened in your model of car?
Well, I know it's not a sponsored program, but I use that. I have my fixed app and I put it in there. And when I did it, it showed nothing because it's an oil. And what they do on fixed is when you plug it into your car and then it scans the vehicle for all the like 7,000 things it looks at. And there are no codes that came up at all but then they say, check these lights. And I click on the light that the engine oil light says, this is an indicator light that indicates you have low oil. Having no oil in your car is a very bad thing. That type of thing. I took my car to a Jiffy Lube back in the day when I drove a Jeep, and they didn't put the cap back on, and right. I seized the engine out on Route 395 near the FBI.
I wonder when a dealership takes delivery of the car for when they sell it. Is it filled with oil at the point of manufacture, or is it responsibility of the dealer to check the oil when it arrives? Because you know what? It's not going to be running between its manufacturer when it gets to the dealership. Okay, it's just going to be shoved on a truck, right?
I would say
or
that...
Or a boat in the case of a Subaru.
I would say that it's still got to be rolled off the truck.
I'm sorry. That was...
Their staging area, I think the engine has to be running.
Okay.
Yeah.
But somebody, there has to be some sort of quality control along the line that they would check that
early. Find out now. Don't wait another 3,000 miles. Like, you've been driving this for six. It's like the guy coming back with a Big Mac. You're like, I hated this Big Mac, and you ate 3/4 of it.
Yeah.
You're right. But part of me also wants to say, if the oil indicator light doesn't come back on, that I'm... Part of me wants to say, I don't want to deal with the hassle of it right now.
Right.
So just wait 3,000. If it pops, look, if it comes on and another 3,000, that means I'm burning oil. And that's not a good thing for a car that's brand new.
But once you,
trust the dealership?
Nah, I don't know them well enough. Not the sir. I love the sales side. You know, that's just like the sales side and the DJs.
Yeah. The smoke shows of sales.
Yeah, that's right.
The sales guys are great. I'm not sure about the... And the guy was perfectly nice that put the oil in there.
This is what I'm saying.
It's a small enough dealership where they had discussed he knew my car. He knew that they had talked about that.
Oh, yeah, because he said, oh, you're the one who bought the car that burns oil, right?
Can I? Let me add this. It's not about how nefarious the dealership is or is not, or if they're trying to cover something up. I'm looking at it from a business perspective. If I've sold a car to a customer and it means me taking the car back or fixing a problem, taking the car back is a much bigger deal. And it's harder for the customer to give the car back, I imagine, And I don't know what the lemon laws are in Maine.
Mm-hmm. Well, I see. I don't think you're making the problem. I see. It's just it's the degree of significance of the problem. This is something that that, you know, I think that she brings the car in because they give you the free car washes.
Yeah.
So Carla brings the car. I may have Carla when she brings it in for the car wash. For some reason, your boy doesn't like to bring the car back to the dealership for car washes. I think it's I don't know. I just don't like. But when she goes in, I'm going to have her ask, is it unusual to have a low oil level with a car with only 3,000 miles on it? That's the question that will be asked.
Yeah, there's no way in the world a car with 3,000 miles should be burning any oil at all. I mean, the oil can break down, but it shouldn't be burning. Right. That's when you have 150 or 200,000 miles.
My BMW with 170,000 plus miles would burn through oil.
Sure.
And didn't start doing that.
Okay, so I think that perhaps we were dealing with initially a low oil level, but I think question will be asked, have you ever, have you had these cars occasionally where you don't have the right amount of oil in there?
Do you think that,
you know, it's a manual thing they do. They have to put the oil in the engine somewhere.
Subaru
you know?
Is known for
excellence.
Their lifestyle, right?
Reliability.
And the individuals, and I'm not the ponies of the world that get Subarus. They're probably concerned of
Well, bring Pony has a Subaru. What's his
realistically?
Is he on the thingy?
Yeah,
is he on the thingy?
Realistically, as far as the Subaru is concerned, I think of Subaru as a brand that its customers love to hug the planet.
They do.
They're more concerned.
And they love their product. They love Subaru.
You're like my buddy Zach, who calls me a goat-eating liberal with a Subaru.
About how much trail mix can fit in the back.
By the way, it's my knowledge. I don't think liberals go out and eat goats.
No.
That's just a... maybe it wasn't eating. Maybe it was goat hugging.
No, he said goat.
Goat hugging liberal.
Or maybe something even more. After you hug the goat and you're familiar
goat
with...
Goat fucking liberal?
Yes, that's okay.
Right. Pony, I know that you were editing the free show, but quickly, Mike is having an issue with his Subaru. He's burning oil. It's a brand new Subaru. It's 3,000 miles.
We don't know if he's burning oil. Might not have had. Have you ever had an oil problem with your Subarus?
I have, but only like really late in the life of the car. It was at like 80 or 90,000, but that all had to do with having a turbo. Do you have a turbo in yours? Or
I don't have a turbo. I don't have it. If you went up a hill with me in Maine, it would take 16 minutes.
The opposite of a turbo.
You know, one little hole. Opposite of a
who
turbo.
Who caught the humble brag? I did. But that's only because my car is turbocharged. Do you have a turbo?
But even with that, even with 90,000 miles, I'm just concerned because he didn't say no that he's never had an oil problem.
Right.
So when you say a problem, so you have to change your oil. I mean, you have to top off your oil frequently with the 90,000.
I don't think you necessarily have to. Subarus are known more for having like weird coolant issues, not so much oil problems. But when it's a brand new car, you know, you want to get the first oil change done quickly, like sooner than 3,000 miles, because you get a bunch of like extra crap floating around in your engine.
Oh, look at this guy!
I should get the oil changed.
Yeah, I would. I mean, how many miles are on it?
A little over 3,000.
Yeah, I would definitely get it changed.
Yeah, Pat.
Hey,
Pat.
Yes. Hi.
There's the Pony Impressions corner.
If I'm going to buy any type of oil, what type of oil should I buy?
I would go with like Motul. Motul.
What about BG?
Oh, BG 44K. You said the BG winning word of the day.
Pat Goss, for those of you that don't know, was a car guy that had a show on WJFK. And we still mock him to this day.
Do you synthetic oil, Tony?
Yeah, absolutely.
Of course. Mm-hmm. In your turbo?
No, why did you say it like that? Why did you say, of course?
Well, because
like
the way he brought it on, because he was like, turbo. Yes, for my turbo, I use it, of course.
With the turbo, you have to, because your oil gets hotter and it'll break down sooner if you don't use synthetic. Mm.
Also,
I remember when your car broke down sooner.
Yes. Yeah.
The Subaru that I test drove did have a turbo.
Yeah, they're fun. Which one was it?
And a four-cylinder engine with a turbo is A-okay with me.
Mm-hmm. The WRX?
It really got the thing powered up and flew along.
Oh,
was that the Ascent?
The Ascent, the new big one, the one with the third row.
Oh, so is it like a crossover vehicle?
Yes.
Oh, neat.
Yes, it's a crossover SUV. Not a crossover, it's a full-size SUV.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Mike, nice. You only need a turbo because you have a family. Pony doesn't need a turbo. And
he has a turbo because he wants to be fast and furious.
No,
that's what he wants to do.
When he goes to the rally at Burger King on midnight on a Friday night.
Mm-hmm. Do those porcelain dolls like to go fast?
Oh, they go very fast.
No, I'm going to take it.
Can the sugar glider keep up with you on the road?
No, not at all.
Oscar's right. Pony's right. I'm taking it in because it's still a young car. Yeah. And I'm going to say, let's change the oil. I think maybe we should change the oil. I'll talk to somebody at the service. I'll go with Carla when she gets the car washed, and I'll chat with somebody. Mm. I was in a hurry the other day. I had the little guy in the car, so I was on my way when he put the... and I think, we'll have a
be careful
out.
Parking,
that's
please.
That's
yes.
I'll be fine.
Rhythm, you have it or you don't. That's a fallacy. I'm in them. Every sprouting tree, every child of peace, every cloud and sea. You see with your eyes.
The best of O'Mara.
You know, one of the things
eyes
Rob
forward.
Put on... and
what
so
a dumbass.
What are you going to do about your dented car?
What I'm going to do on Saturday is go and get an estimate just to see what the damage is. If it's something that's, frankly, that I could actually put on a credit card, I'd rather do that and give my brother what you should be when you buy a car that when it rolls off the truck, you're like, I just paid good money for it.
Well, that's essentially the car that he bought because all the bad things that have happened has been since he bought it.
If it's not
viable. Are you doing well on this transaction?
No.
You never do on a car. You never do well.
I'm not losing. It's a used car. I'm not losing, but I'm also not doing well. And
you're not winning.
Charlie Sheen.
Every time I have sold a used car, and I've probably done it five times in my life, there's always a push or a loss. Mm-hmm. I've never won on any of these transactions.
When I sold my expensive SUV back to the dealership this year, let me see. How would I describe the transaction? Oh, that's right. I'm still bleeding out of my ass after that. I mean, you don't know what being f***ed over is until you sell for cash a used vehicle back to a dealership.
That's the worst transaction
because
possible.
That's when they are the polar opposite of what they were when they sold you the new one.
Oh, it's a whole different deal.
That's when you're going in and you're treated like scum and it just...
You feel dirty.
It was convenience. And by the way, I took it to what's the big place where you can sell your car? You.
Oh, amen. Amen. Burn it to the ground.
They have made a life out of boning people because even when I got boned, I would have gotten worse boning at the car max. There's no haggling. No, this is the price. Give it to us or take it away.
CarMax is probably the closest I've ever gotten to killing Carrie over a financial decision. I mean, really, I said, do I want to press my thumbs into her throat right now? No, let's wait.
It was because they were giving you such a low
the thing it was the last Caprice that I ever owned, and I owned a series of three of them, and it was a great one in its day. But it had engine troubles. It was really on its last legs. The air conditioning was shot. It would just blow hot air. I said, you know what? Whatever they could give us, it'll be fine because it'll just offset what we're paying. I think
You go to CarMax. In what year and what was the year of your car?
It was a 96, so it was about 10 years old, because I think it was like 2006.
10-year-old car, okay.
And it was shot. It had over 150,000 miles on it.
Celebrity owned.
So you know what we are today on the bonus show?
What?
The title of the bonus show should be, We're the Car Guys.
We're the Car Guys.
I love this story, though. So you go into CarMax with your 10-year-old Caprice Classic.
Yeah, and really, it's really not worth repairing. And they offered us $300 for it. And I said, what the f***? Why? Fine. And so they say, you'll have this money order is good in 3 days or whatever. So I have to wait 3 days to get my $300. And as we're finalizing it, Carrie looks at me and says, wow, $300 is not very much. I said, you're right. And she said, makes me kind of feel bad. I said, why? She says, I filled it up with gas today. I said, how much? $68. I said, that's 20% of the car's value. What are you doing?
Take it. We have to run some errands. Oh, no. You give it to him. It's on fumes. The light's on.
Yeah.
You drive that car till the light's on.
Push it into the dealership. Yeah. They'll never get a nickel from me again.
My transaction with my... this is, I think, the process for every guy or girl that's selling their car. You go to Kelley Blue Book.
Sure.
You find the Blue Book value, private sell value. You get your dealer trade-in value.
Right.
And you know that there's a disparity. What they don't give you is your CarMax value. Dealer trade-in for my car was, and I went to, at that point, the Audi dealership.
Mm.
I said, what do you think? And the guy,
said, hello, this is David.
This is the dealership I went to all the time. And I know they love the car. It was worth Blue Book. Kelley Blue Book, it was worth $24,000.
Wow.
And they said, we'll give you 14.5. And I said,
what? There's the game.
Not going to happen. I said, thank you. Went to CarMax. Right. CarMax said, oh, wow, this is like really like meticulous. It's great. Unfortunately, you have upgraded everything. And we're going to, it was almost like a race car. They said, we're going to have to find the appropriate buyer for this. So it's not mass appeal. So we're going to have to offer.
Did they say that at CarMax?
Yes.
Oh, see, they've got a book.
Oh, you guarantee
it's a 2009.
Right.
And at this point, it was 2014, right? Mm-hmm. And I said, okay. I was like, well, what's the offer? I waited for an effing hour. The offer was $16,000.
Yeah.
I said, no, thank you. Moved on.
Right.
Ended up selling it still for a loss. Not Kelley Blue Book. I sold it for $21,000, maybe 20 after everything was said and done.
Right.
Because he wanted certain things fixed. And I was like, okay. That's better than 14.5, better than 16. Right.
And don't think there wasn't a page in that book, the specific buyer book, make him wait. They're going to want to make you wait.
Because this car has so much beautiful stuff that you've done to
improve
it.
Aftermarket rims.
We're going to have to really, really seek out something. They say that to you, and I think that's
good. You'd have a seat over there by the vending machines, and we'll be with you.
Still.
We think the internet age has helped these transactions.
No.
It really has not at all. I mean, they're just more rigid
still
now.
Still didn't get the blue book. Now, 20, 21's better than everything else, but not 24.
No.
No. So the blue book, and the whole thing, there's one part of, they said, hey, I'll let you look at the invoice. What they don't show you on the invoice is something that I believe is called the dealer holdback. Which is the holdback, which is another way that they make profit.
Oh, I don't know about the holdback.
Well, the holdback is, look it up on the internet sometime. It's the holdback is one more number where they allow their dealers to make a slight more profit on the car. It's a margin.
And also, if they move many cars in bulk, the actual company will bonus the dealership. That's another way that they can sort of fudge the deals.
That's another way that they can make the money. I think that the worst experience, I've told this story before on the air. I am driving an Acura, and I am trading it back in the day. You know, I'm a car guy.
Yeah.
I'm trading it back on the, you probably can remember the car, but a Mitsubishi
3000 GT.
3000 VR4.
Mike, those cars, by the way, in great condition, because I just look at cars all the time now, because I'm not going to have one. It's if you kept it, because they're so Fast and the Furious, they're like the Toyota Supra, they're worth tens of thousands of dollars.
Well,
surreal.
You know, if I'd had it now, I probably wouldn't have it in good condition.
I think this car probably
McDonald's French fries in the wheel well.
I think this car predated us knowing each other. I don't remember this car.
So this was, by the way, I can't tell you college roommates I have, but I can tell you the cars that I
have. Right.
It went from my father's Plymouth Satellite.
Right.
Which I traded in on my first car that I purchased myself, which was a Ford Fiesta, which that was back in the Annapolis days.
That is a really appropriately named car, because when you drove it, it was like going to a Spanish party.
Yes, it was a Fiesta. The car, here was the surprise of the Ford Fiesta, front wheel drive, phenomenal in snow.
Yeah, I remember.
Drove it
in
a couple of snowstorms in Annapolis, Maryland, and it was great when I was working at WIRE. Then I took the Ford Fiesta, though. You know, it used up its usefulness, and boy, when I think of what I was getting paid in those days and how I was able to get a car, God, times have changed.
Yeah.
And I took it and I traded it in at Coons Toyota in Annapolis, Maryland, on a Toyota Starlet.
What?
Not a Tercel, a Starlet.
Starlet was a step down from the Tercel, right?
It was kind of, it was kind of the Tercel.
Let me look that up.
Okay.
Look up Toyota Starlet and see if you can see it.
Bob Spiewak had a Tercel for a while.
It was a cheap toy, but incredibly reliable.
I hear that, I look it up and I'm like, oh.
Not a common vehicle. I mean, you don't see it a lot. I mean, the Toyota Starlet,
you used to date her, didn't you? The Toyota Starlet.
The Toyota Starlet.
Oh, look, yeah. Mike, this is dead on. This is a...
Fanny Nakajima was her name, the Toyota Starlet.
It's an upgrade from the Fiesta.
It is.
It's a little bigger Fiesta.
Yeah.
From the Toyota Starlet, I go to the hot car. I get a Mitsubishi Cordia Turbo.
How old were you?
Look up Mitsubishi Cordia Turbo.
How old were you then?
I'm a baby DJ, and probably at that point I'm a group program director.
Okay. So this is when you're 50.
This is back when I was 50 in the 1970s.
Oh, this okay, thing looks like a poor man's, oh my God, DeLorean.
A poor man's Supra.
Or DeLorean.
Yeah, it does. No, it has DeLorean lines. It really does.
It's got DeLorean lines. Yeah. It's orange. It was like
of course ridiculous. It was orange.
It was orange.
Oh my God.
I buy the warranty, the extended warranty. I burn out a turbo on it. And guess what? The one f***ing thing
you're
not
kidding.
Covered in the warranty was the turbo.
You're kidding. They didn't cover
it? Yeah, because it was the last. That was officially the last warranty on anything that I ever bought. I never buy an extended warranty anymore.
I'm the same.
I don't buy them. So that from the Cordia Turbo, I go to.
This is a hot car, Mike. I'm not gonna lie. An orange.
It's a hot car, but it was. But I went to
a set deck.
I finally started.
You're like Magnum PI in this thing.
This I know was the WAVA era.
Okay.
I start to make a little money, and I move up to a real nice car, which is my first real nice car, new car that
right.
I got, was an Acura Legend. I always wanted one. It was fantastic. From the Acura, you know, the years get longer, the contracts aren't getting smaller. I decide it's time to go grab a hot car. I've always loved cars, and I trade the Acura in on the Mitsubishi VR4. I think it was also a twin turbo.
Right.
I don't think the Cordia was a twin turbo. I think it was a turbo.
That makes sense because I wasn't with you at this time. That's why I don't remember this car.
This is a dealership down in Annapolis, Maryland, where I go in, and the transaction came down to this $400 issue. I negotiated my trade. I negotiated the price of the new car. And we shook hands. Basically, it was a done deal. Then the salesman comes back and says, you know, we have a problem. We didn't include blah, 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 blah. Could have been destination, could have been undercoat. It was a matter of $400. At this point, I said, dude, we just agreed on a price. That's what I do. And I'm not going to play this game. You know, not going to play your $400 game.
Right.
So he goes, well, you have to know that's coming right out of my, I said, I'm real sorry, but this is the deal that we negotiated. So he goes away. At this point, his sales manager comes over and he walks over. He says, you know, this thing, this was, I said, it's $400. I can't do it, guys. I can't. I'm beginning to dig my
spinning
heels
out.
In
yeah.
deeper and deeper. The general manager comes over.
Oh, boy.
And says, you know, I hope you understand this is real. I said, look, guys. If you want to sell the car, I know you've come down. It's for. I'm not buying this brand new car.
I love
which
this.
You have agreed to a price in the trade in. I am getting. I'm so exasperated at this point. I'm getting. I'm literally. My heart is racing. I'm flushed. The hair on the back of my neck is standing up. I'm getting so upset. I finally think it's done. They're giving me the hang. It's the worst experience
right.
in a car dealership I have ever had in my life. They're giving me the hang dog. They're making me feel. They're trying guilt or trying. Over this $400, I don't know whether it was legit or not. I don't give a shit. I had negotiated. It was on paper, and he came back to me. And that's why. We agreed. I said, I'll do it for this, and that's it. So he says, okay, I know I was going to finance the car, so he said, we're going to take you back to the business office. We get into the business office. I have begun, while I'm waiting for the business manager to finish with another person, I am unloading my stuff out of the Acura and putting it into the new Mitsubishi.
Right.
I'm very excited. It's a black Mitsubishi. It's gorgeous. It's my first real sports car that I've ever owned in my life. And the last one. I love this car. Go into the business manager's office. Got my stuff done. He says, okay, we're set to go. We're going to do this. Now, they did mention that the $400, and he didn't get the $400
oh,
out of
no.
his mouth. I took the keys. I threw them across the desk. I threw them across the desk. I said, we're done. We're over. I got out. I'm very loudly talking through the dealership. I said, I don't know how anyone would buy a car from this place when they did. They didn't. I hope you enjoy your $400 because you're not getting it from me. I go out. I'm angrily taking my stuff back out of the Mitsubishi and putting it into my car. I am that angry about this. I said, where are my keys? Give me my keys. Thank you very much. I unlock the Acura. At this moment, the owner of the dealership drives
wow.
in. They have called the owner of the dealership. He catches me in the little service bay there, and he catches me. I said, I'm using language. It's everything. So hold on. He takes me across the parking lot into one of those little trailers they have for the used cars. And he talks to me, and I give him the whole story. Well, he's the man that apparently they're all afraid of, because he wipes out the $400 and gives me $200 more off the car, off the cost of the car for the hassle. And man, I, that literally was the, it would have saved it if he waived the $400. It was goodwill that he did that after the fact.
Oh, yeah, I know it was a long time.
I've never been angrier in my life.
I know it was a long time ago, but when you recounted the story to him, did he feign surprise? Was he surprised that it got to this level? How did he, as the owner?
It was all about him reacting to me. It was not, I was so angry, I couldn't even tell you what his reaction was. I only had one thing and one thing only. And this became an issue of principle for me at the second guy, because I said, no. I mean, it's a lot of money. It's a lot of money.
You're already spending all this money.
You're lying about the. There were three different reasons for the $400 too. It was never consistent. And then when I got to the business manager, you know, I can hear them. You know, say, I'll handle it. I'll handle this guy.
And you know, they do it to every single person that does it, because by the time you get that far into it.
Car dealerships, with women in particular, Carla said there were dealerships that used to throw keys up on the roof of the building.
I've heard about that. Yeah,
that they wouldn't let somebody go. They were doing that kind of crap. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what dealership it was, Rosenthal. But I mean, that's you heard about that?
Yeah.
That's the Waco. But that was the single worst experience.
And they're playing on the emotions and the excitement of getting a new car, because when you get that close, you literally have the keys in your hand and you just want to end the deal.
The emotion of the moment.
And they're not going to think you're going to pump the brakes on $400. They're going to just add it on, because that's, and when he says that $400 is coming out of my pocket, wrong. That $400 is going into his pocket.
Best of O'Mara.
If you add them all up, as far as buying vehicles, I've only ever bought only one new vehicle.
Okay.
And that'll never happen again, because in the past, and maybe I've been lucky, but I bought cars on Auto Trader from across the country, right?
Mm-hmm. So I know. You've researched it a lot. You take a long time to do it.
Via email, negotiating is 10 times better, even selling your car to say why you can or cannot.
Right.
Yeah,
because there's no there's emotion, but there isn't like, I have to get this done today. It's going to take days anyways to get the deal done.
You're removed from it. And also, you can just type it and send it, and you're on your, and you're not having to look at anybody. Yeah. You just send it and go.
Also, you should know that my girl's car is dying, so I have been looking at other vehicles, and I ended up walking to one dealer. It's nothing fancy, just a regular car.
Is this the Avalon we're talking about?
Yes, the Avalon with almost 200,000 miles on it, which I think is fine for her.
It's just getting broken in good.
I think it's fine.
It's dying.
It is dying.
It's a Toyota. Well,
I realized
the Avalon is dying.
There's a bigger problem, because now like three different lights go out on the front and the back. And I was like, well, that's an electrical issue. We probably have to switch this out.
Yeah, it looks like you're playing Operation.
My poor wife. I am such a scumbag and a cheapo, and I know she can't drive, so I refuse to get a car that she can dent up.
Right.
Meanwhile, I'm driving into walls because smoke shows are parked in the car.
Yeah, but you learned a lesson.
Smoke show again, Rhea.
So she thinks I'm going to look for cars for me. I'm looking for her.
Right.
I go to the dealer, and I say, okay, this is what I'm looking for. No more than this amount, which isn't a lot.
Right.
What incentives do you have this July, the worst time to buy a car? For buyers.
Right.
For financing.
Because I'm sure they have a sign in the parking lot that says sale, because they always
do. She's smart.
Do.
She takes me just for a test drive. I'm like, this is a small enough car for Shannon. And if she runs into the parks with the rims, I'm not going to be upset.
Okay.
Like, this is a tank. By tank, I mean a plastic tank.
Right.
And she emails me and she's like, I just want to know how you thought. I was like, what incentives do you have in July? July is coming to the end of the month.
Good for you.
Writes me back. There's such a demand for these vehicles, Mr. Ceballos, that there are no incentives. But if you'd like to help me, to help you build it online, what kind of sale is that?
Yeah.
No. And by the way, the demand for the first rule of sales that I understand, and I don't know if you learned about this in business school, but the way I understood it, first rule of sales is create urgency.
Of course.
And as soon as you say there is a demand for this car. That's also a thing that I would walk out of a dealership. Read that to me, where it's like, oh man, a lot of people are interested in this car. I test drive. And there are people that still are dumb enough to do it.
Yep.
And I think it's a dumb sales guy that pulls that crap, with anybody with half a brain that goes into a dealership and hears that from a sales guy, running the other direction, because he's already bullshit.
thingy. Yeah, but you know what? On an email transaction, I'm sure that there is a very methodical flow chart they go through.
Oh, copy
and
paste?
Yeah, and I'm sure that's the first one.
Yeah, I bet there is.
I mean, seriously.
Right.
I mean,
you're absolutely right.
I ran into on my iPod on the way back from Charlottesville this weekend one of my calls to the telemarketer.
Yeah.
And my mom had never heard it. And she said, I love how you keep referring to what page are you on? Because I said, let's get back to the script. Know that anytime you're in a hard-pressed sales thing, there is an if-then type deal. And
yes,
I'm sure,
very true.
And the first thing is going to be create the urgency, and there are no incentives. I guarantee
also,
you there are incentives.
What I want is just, I want them to give me the first initial offer.
Right, to get the ball rolling.
I want to see what are you going to do to make this happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the thing is, though, it will always be a pleasurable experience if it's even handled halfway decently to buy a new automobile. The opposite, when you're selling your car,
the worst.
It is the polar. And when you're selling anything, I mean, and there's a reason why I should probably do what they say. You probably do better if you sold that on your own. And they're right.
It is.
They're right.
I've always done better that way. I've always done that.
Because it's the way to do it.
Yeah.
And because they are not going to make a greater effort. They have to. You're always going to have a car dealership that wants to get their profit out of it.
And they know exactly what they're doing. They know exactly the margin.
They know exactly. Yeah. They're armed with that. Yeah. They really are.
I had a 2000, it might have been a 1998 Jeep Grand Cherokee.
Uh-huh.
New engine in it in Arizona, right? The thing was rebuilt. You see new engine on a Craigslist ad, you're like, no effing way. What happened that this car needs a new engine?
I hate the notion of a new engine. That means something really bad. Some fire damage. That's right.
Some fire damage. Yes.
The gentleman I sold the car to, which I met outside of a Bank of America in a parking lot in the desert.
Right. A lot of holes in the desert, Mike.
I remember pulling up being like, oh, this is probably where I die if this guy wants the car.
Yeah.
And he gets out.
It's so dangerous when you think about all those transactions.
This is before the Craigslist killers.
Yeah.
This is before that happened,
Mike,
right?
It's just a huge cash transaction in the middle of the desert. That's all it is.
What could possibly go wrong? Right.
So I'm there. It's not a bustling strip mall. The bank barely looks like it's open. And they just had monsoon season, so there's nobody even out. Like, it's just me and this other guy that rolls up on what is best described as a vehicle from Animal Kingdom. Like, something like they're ATVs.
Some old vehicle that's been patched together.
Yes, there are surfboards or ATVs in this matter because it's Arizona that go on the back, right?
Right.
Where I'm like, oh, man. Like, this is, and at this point, your spidey sense goes up because I'm a coward. I'm like, oh, I got to get out of here. Like, what's going to happen?
Flee instinct.
Go.
Yes, so, but, guy sounds like Sam Elliott, you know? Are you the one that's selling the Cherokee? Yeah. All right. I have big handlebar mustache, you know? Boy, you look good in that car. Yeah. Let's, I got to check in my passenger side. Come on over.
You're right. I do like dealing in cash.
There you go. You better duck.
I come out. I get out, but I'm a poor DJ, so I need to sell this.
Yeah.
I need to sell this car. It doesn't matter.
He has created urgency based on the fact that you're urgent to get the money.
When do you calm down during the trend? When do you get
or do
to
you
that
ever?
It gets worse because the guy, he's got, in Arizona, they don't have tint laws, so you can't really see who's in the car.
Oh, Jesus.
Four guys get out of the car. Four guys!
Four dudes?
And at this point, I was dressing like I was Tony Hawk, right? So there's nothing intimidating about me. Like, I just ollie my way over to the mall to sell this car. So I grab. This is the one thing I do right. I keep records of everything that's done to cars in an accordion folder, and I've done this since I was a kid.
Okay.
And I pull out my accordion folder with all my files to show the man that I have always taken care of this. And this is the ProTec shop that actually put the new engine in, which is a real shop.
Right.
Okay.
And he looks at this and he's looking around. And he's talking to the guys and they're all Animal Kingdom guys. They're all like guys, right?
Right.
White guys with muscles and tattoos, like. And he goes, you know, most people look at, this is where I got the line from. Look at Craigslist ads. They see new engine. They say, no way.
Right.
I see that. I got to find out who put in the engine. And I said, well, Pro shop. And he goes, I can see this. I can see that this is a performance shop. Right. Happened to be my neighbor that owned the place that did it. So I'm right. banking that they did it right. He inspects mm-hmm. the car with all the guys. They couldn't have been nicer. He says, and you know what? The fact that you have all these files indicates to me that you've been taking care of the vehicle.
Good point.
It goes back 5 years. He goes, look at this. He's like teaching me that I'm doing everything right to sell a car.
So you still do that? You do it for the Avalon and for your other
all
car?
All the vehicles. Yes.
At what point does he all put right. the ball to gag on you?
He says, okay. He goes, I'll take it. Doesn't haggle me on the price. He goes, come with me.
How about a little job, sailor?
Those shorts.
You really want to sell this car? Why don't you come in with
those
my
shorts?
Price?
Come with knee pads,
yeah, Mike. It would be. There's just everything looks good. There's just a little matter of a thing called a job.
Walk into the bank.
Yes.
And then I'm waiting behind, like where you wait, like you're going to do something at the check.
Where yeah. are the four? All four guys walk into the bank, or just this guy?
Other guys get in the car. We've technically sold the car.
Okay. All
right.
Very
right.
Good.
They're like
good.
Checking
that's
it
good.
Out.
Right.
So we're in the bank, and I'm like, oh, that's where the guys roll out with the car and the vehicle, and the guy runs somewhere else.
Sure.
Like, this is the worst scenario ever that I put myself in. And I hear him talking to the teller, and I'm like, oh, man, there's going to be a problem with the situation. Like, he just gave me all these compliments, and now he's going to bone me. Comes back, wads of cash I've never seen in my effing life.
Oh, my God.
And he's like, here you go, man. Thank you for the transaction and making this smooth. Again, you kept the records. I can see the engine's been taken care of. It's brand new. It's done right by the right person. Have a great day. Do you have a ride back into town? I jumped wow. back in my car, and one of his friends drove me back to the radio station.
Really?
Cannot judge a book by its cover.
So you weren't, and even the ride back, to you think there's potential for disaster even
robbed.
With the ride?
Yeah, until you are in your air chair, you are
you're
still
not,
in danger.
You're going, what made you persevere? What made you not say at that particular time, when you've got the cash
yes.
in your hand, why didn't you lie? I would have lied. Oscar, as God is my witness, I would have lied and said a friend was picking me
my
up.
My friend, a cop, yeah. is coming by to pick me up.
Mike, right. this is before Uber or Lyft. And what right. I knew about Phoenix is the cabs were the worst. And
okay.
if I was going to be
right.
late for our 2-hour meeting before our show, because we're still baby DJs with the program director,
oh,
I didn't want to be
I
because
understand.
I made a bad choice. I'm going to roll them bones because we're new to the station. And if they got
you were always doing multiple transactions, even in that
yeah.
day, you
yeah.
were doing other things. That's it.
Oh, and I remember walking in there being like, I can't believe all this money. I was sweating. I was nervous on. And I remember Chris Paddock, our program director, is like, is everything OK? And I'm like, I didn't want to tell him that I had $4,000 on me because that was so much money. It still is to this
right.
day. I was like, no. I sold my car today. They're like, congratulations. Meanwhile, I was just happy to be alive. I was happy that it had worked out.
I think the message there is you should have probably borrowed something from your friend, your other DJ friend, Mr.
Oh, he
Chad.
Wasn't yes. even into guns then.
Oh, he wasn't
no.
into guns?
No.
Wow.
He had nothing. I used to take butcher knives at Craigslist transactions.
Oh, that's butcher right. You did care. You brought a knife to one.
Under my seat.
That's right.
Now, next time, bring your own smoke show.
The Best of O'Mara.
Labor Day, Labor Day, Labor Day. You know, it means a lot to a lot of people. The end of summer, beginning of the school year, the, you know, in traditional communities in years past, the beginning of the work year. Now that's not so much the case. But Rob Spiewak, for years and years, the Labor Day weekend meant one thing. Jerry Lewis and the Labor Day telethon. There it is. And he told me right before we started taping the bonus hour that he's actually still sad. He is still in mourning.
It stings.
Over Jerry. Your mourning did not begin when Jerry passed this past year.
No, that compounded it, but the sadness.
Your mourning was when they
forgot he passed.
Telethon.
Yeah, about a year and a week ago.
Because we just saw him on Comedians and Cars and Coffee.
His last appearance, yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And he ate a lot of bacon.
Hey.
Take from that what you will, lady.
Lady!
You still, you still have your stuff, your Jerry stuff.
Of course, yeah. I've got an autographed picture of Jerry above my desk at home, and it's sad to me because for years, I'd say starting in the late 70s, the Labor Day to me was all about the telethon. And it used to be because it was great entertainment. Then it got to be because it was a little shticky. And then it got really bad, but still it was a part of what I did every year.
I also feel like I've missed out big time on that part of Americana, like old school television, telethons.
No, you didn't. Nobody got into it as much as Rob. People really didn't watch it. Yes and no. It didn't get ratings, did it, Rob? I mean, it never really got ratings.
It did. I'd say that it started to decline like 87, 88. But it was never about ratings. It was about the money. And there was only a few years that he didn't get his dollar more.
Or broadcasters, though. And I idolize Don and Mike. You're a radio god, Mike. I listened to Don and Mike on the show, and you would talk about this telethon. And as a younger broadcaster and immigrant, I'd say, man, I can't believe I missed out on these telethons. Because when I was growing up, the biggest thing was that comedy telethon that they would have on HBO.
Comic Relief. Yeah.
And
that was only like 5 hours.
And I don't even know if this is cultural, because everybody in Latin America, for the majority, is poor. So when you tell everybody on TV, hey, help the maligned and diseased and poor.
Right.
Or like, we all need that help. I know when I was growing up, even in my household, I never saw a telethon on Univision. It just wasn't something that was around.
Right.
But I know it's beloved. I know Jerry is as well. I've been educated on this program. The idea, though, that you still are in mourning over the telethon and not Jerry's death is...
Well, they walk hand in hand for me.
Yeah, well, and there's also a connection between radio and MDA, because radio guys would look at the weekend of the Muscular Dystrophy Telethon as their chance to get a little TV time, and there were radio people that were just every year. You got on it later
twice,
right?
I got to do it twice.
Really?
But there was a guy, what was that guy? Jerry Clark. Jerry Clark was a DJ, and every year he'd put his DJ suit on. And there's not a DJ in America that has ever worn a business suit that looks normal in it. They all look like
they're going to court.
Your challenged cousin from Appalachia who comes in and has never worn a business suit before. And I think I was on the telethon, but the significance of the MDA weekend is we had a radiothon for MDA.
Right.
And I'm not even sure. It would have to be Labor Day, right?
Yeah.
It would have to be the Labor Day weekend. And I got a gig. We talked when Jim Amato was with us in the regular show. I talked to Jim about Chuck Dickman up at KDK in Pittsburgh, who I met at a radiothon for MDA.
I didn't know that.
Up getting a gig out of that. That's how it happened. So I understand the whole thing. But
and there used to be
love,
as a kid, I mean, there was an excitement around it because you would see the firemen out on the road. You would throw quarters into their boot, the Fill the Boot campaign.
Yes.
There would be the way that you could have kids would host their local MDA carnivals. I never went that far, but I heard about them. And, you know, it was a big deal. Kids would come down to the shopping mall or to wherever the TV set was and fill the fishbowl. And there was a certain amount of excitement to it.
But so, I think the most important thing with you is you love the Magic Box.
Yeah,
and you love showbiz, pop culture, all that stuff. And you lived through that. And the MDA telethon was a big deal.
You watched it as a kid?
Absolutely.
You would sit there and watch the whole thing as a kid.
Not the whole thing. I didn't get to watch it. Like the best year probably was 87. I remember watching all 21 hours in 1987. It was fantastic.
Were you working with us in 87?
No, you weren't working with us. No, that was a couple years before I met you.
He's sitting at home watching all the hours.
Yeah. And I would eventually have friends over, and I'd say, if you want to come watch the telethon, that's great. There's only one rule. You can make fun of everything, but you're not allowed to make fun of people that are sick. But you can make fun of Jerry as much as you want. You would have friends over? Yes. Oh, God.
And you would give them ground rules?
Yeah. You weren't allowed, because if they, you know, it's you get drinking and you might make inappropriate jokes. I say, these are the ground rules. These are poor, sick adults and children, and we mustn't make fun of them. However,
these are poor, sick adults and children being exploited by Jerry Lewis.
And we mustn't make fun of them. But if you want to make fun of Norm Crosby, that's fine. And you see, Mike, what's sad is that I'm going to have to go the whole weekend without hearing this. This is pure.
Louis, do something with that.
How do you not love
Louis,
this?
You got to hear the words.
Right?
You know we can't smile without you. We can't.
Stop it right there. Jerry Lewis.
Some of these kids just can't smile.
Jerry Lewis
made a career
out of sing talking.
Oh, he's
so
a horrible singer.
If you listen
singer.
To that, it's like, you know I can't smile without you. I'm not singing. I'm really talking.
We have wonderful custom lyrics by Julie Stein to this wonderful song, and it's by Barry Manilow. And do it for us, and we're going to sing it for you.
Let's
right
hear it from the top.
And oh, from the top.
We can't sing unless... Hit it, Louis. Do something with that.
And there's also the notion that Jerry could lose his mind at any time.
You Absolutely. Know we can't smile without you. We can't smile without you. We can't laugh and we can't sing unless
Jerry,
we hear
those telephones ring.
We feel sad.
I mean, it's just...
Uber Dick, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Dennis Miller, when I interviewed him years and years ago, before he became a zealot, Dennis Miller said to me that he never laughs at Jerry Lewis when Jerry Lewis is trying to be funny, but he always laughs at Jerry Lewis when he's trying to be serious. And it was one of the funniest things I ever heard.
It's brilliant.
Because that's when Jerry would be saying, we have a few moments left, and I just want to talk about this man who's here right now that's going
to... I want to thank the people at Safeway for their check and for my popsicles.
I don't mind taking the bonus show and devoting a little time to the great Jerry Lewis on the show.
Thank
you. If I could offer up my little piece of video here.
Yes.
This is an interview very, very close to the end of Jerry's life by a snarky reporter.
Oh, this
that
is great.
Jerry was having none of. Mm. And this was a guy that Jerry was pissed off because all the questions were, why do you work? Do you mm-hmm. Did you feel like retiring? And Jerry is...
This kid
curious.
Was a punk.
Yeah. But the kid was a punk. The kid was a little
I remember this.
He was a douchebag.
But Jerry is also bipolar. So I mean, there was definitely two Jerrys, and he got the bad Jerry this day.
Oh, this is the bad Jerry right here. This is truly something special. So let's listen.
Have you ever thought about retiring?
Why?
Was there never a moment that you thought it might be time to retire or you would want
Why?
To? You come from a...
Is that okay? The audio okay,
Collins? A little older. I think of Bob Hope, George Burns, Sinatra.
He's pissed already.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Who didn't want to, or never retired either. You see similarities with them?
None.
None? What do you think drives people like you and them?
Because we do it well.
How about...
He's pissed.
By working at it.
You've had a number of health issues. Over the last few years, as your age do.
Anyone that's 90 does.
continuing to work, does that actually help you get healthier? You know, does being sort of busy and engaged, do you think that actually helps you get healthier?
No.
Do you think it hurts? Like, do you think...
No.
Wow.
You heard this, Oscar?
Oh, yeah. But this is a different take on it, because when
you've
I heard
been,
it...
To Vegas for a... you've lived here for a while. You've been coming here for a long time. How is Vegas different for you than when you first came here? When was the first time you performed in Vegas?
1947.
Well, can you tell me what Vegas was like when you first showed up?
It's not. It's the same.
It's the same?
Exactly the same.
Like, what is it about Vegas that you like? Like, when you show up in 1947, what was it? It wasn't a little bit of a dusty cow town. It was, what was it like?
A dusty cow town.
And you still think of it as a sort of dusty cow town?
No.
And how about, is performing in Vegas now for you different than it was then? Like, just either the mechanics or the size of the...
No.
Not at all. And how about what's your audience like? You know, now you're still performing. You're 90. What's your audience like? Who are your fans? Are they different than they used to be?
They're still the same.
It's the worst interview I've ever heard.
It is. It's horrible.
But you must have younger fans.
Some are younger.
What do you think it is? You have been that attracts you to younger fans? Like how have you sort of maintained your...
How'd this idiot get in with Jerry?
This guy.
You tell them you're playing there and they show up.
I'm playing it to the end because the ending is the best.
Nothing different than
No.
How about do you have a, you've had a long and distinguished career. Do you have a favorite period of your career, a part of your career you look back on as a moment when you were a favorite, happiest, or your most creative?
What do you mean?
Is there a period in your career you look back on where you, that was your happiest time or your favorite time?
When my partner was alive.
Dean Martin.
When your partner was alive. So working with Dean Martin, was that your favorite?
Yep.
Part of your career?
Yep.
And what made that partnership work for you? Like, what was...
I'll show you some material, you'll know.
If I'm not looking at the material, can you give me like a sense of like what, how it worked for you?
It was terrific.
Terrific.
And how about you have any advice for young 80-year-olds about staying active at 90 to sort of
get a day job?
Get a day job.
You realize on the audio what a terrible interviewer he is.
Yeah.
Quote, day job, you've been a performer your whole life, isn't that right?
Mm-hmm.
And you just you just did a movie a couple years ago, just is coming out, Max Rose. What was it like to step behind?
What movie?
Max Rose, right?
Yeah, I'm glad you remembered it.
What was it like performing again after not having done it for more than a decade?
It's great.
Like, was it? Is it like riding a horse? You never forget. What was it?
You never forget.
Just wants it to end.
Yep.
Was it at all scary or intimidating to come back?
Not at all.
Not at all. And you enjoyed it? Would you do another movie?
Absolutely. We're planning one now.
For you to star in?
Mm-hmm.
And are you also, I think I read that you're also still writing some screenplays or doing work.
Right.
Is that right?
Yep.
Is it easier now to write a screenplay?
No, just as hard.
Just as hard.
God, he and sounds defeated.
How about you take some time each day to write, or how do you do it in a dictaphone? How do you do?
If I tell you, you'll be doing it.
Oh, God.
You write by hand, or do you?
I can't do it anymore. I can't. I got to end it. It's so terrible. Let me just say when he ends it.
Anything else you want to?
No.
Till we're finished. Sure. Thank you.
God. That was so painful.
It hurt. It hurt.
All right, clean it out of here.
Wow.
There we go. That's Jerry.
Mike, as a brief palate cleanser, may I play one more thing?
Please
and I think
do.
You'll enjoy this. Jerry's biggest ally on the telephone through the years has been, of course, his cue cards.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I've put together a small montage of Jerry versus his cue cards. This goes maybe the last 10 years of the telethon. Many Very moments good. I'm sure you will remember, Mike.
I'm always being told what a terrific job I do with this show, which I appreciate, of course. What do I do now?
It was a hit movie in the 90s about a wedding singer in the 80s. Is that right?
Yeah. This next performer is a Grammy Award winner.
I remind you once again that you should really remember at somewhere along the evening or tomorrow that you call and let them know that you care. Of course, I'm talking about the, what am I talking about, Debbie?
The world of country in a big way. Once you hear her, what is that? The world of, I think this gorgeous lady is on the verge of breaking through the world of country.
Yeah, we have to go to the local station, but we hope you'll come back for hour 18 of the 19 telethon. We'll be here. Hope you'll come back.
Grammy winner, a new release. Vaden Voldman. What the hell is that?
Vivaldi.
One of the nicest programs is a program on television now. That's called Glee.
God bless America. Land that I love.
Is he crying?
Stand here? Beside her.
Not crying, he's pissed.
And guide her. Why don't I have the words so I can remember how to Christ to sing this? I would like to introduce to you. Am I going to introduce Norm?
Yes.
Okay, all right. What's with the vicious answer?
Well, get on with it, Jerry. Get on with it.
I can't fool with him because he studied with Hitler Youth.
Always Hitler.
Always Hitler with him.
So, always Hitler.
So I will miss it, but I will say this to those people who are like-minded. The MDA has a YouTube channel, and they have lots of great clips from the telethon. So I no longer have to go back
to my... So they don't do the telethon. The telethon is dead.
It's gone. Correct? It's gone. It's gone, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they still obviously have the organization, and they still raise money, but
right.
Would they ever... How would you bring it back? If you were the man who was tasked with bringing back that type of weekend, where you really... Because you know that you'd love to see happen on the weekend. You'd have to put it on HBO.
You have to, and also you would
Pat
have to...
2019.
You'd have to get the proper amount of talent. I think probably the best host for it, and I actually got a chance to ask him about this once, was Tom Bergeron, because he used to do the overnights. Well, at the end, Jerry wouldn't
That's
do...
That's why I wouldn't task you with it.
No, but you see... You,
Tom Bergeron,
because
you can't get Tom Bergeron's a hack.
He's not a hack, because here's the deal.
He's a game show host. That Jerry Lewis was a movie star.
But I'm just talking about for your anchor, because you haven't watched hours and hours of him on live TV where he can be snarky, bringing the axe on and off, but do it in a friendly way.
But Tom Bergeron is vanilla. Tom Bergeron is not a personality.
So you surround him with a personality. You surround him with a personality.
You're going to argue with Tom.
Michael Strahan is probably not the guy for the job. Nor is Ryan Seacrest.
You have to have a comic actor who also does. Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks would be great.
Oh, wow.
He would
be
great.
Tom Hanks would be. Mel Gibson.
A drunken Mel Gibson.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeOMaraShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.